Welcome to the Story of My Pet podcast. I'm your host, Julie Marty Pearson. It was my passion for animals that fueled me to start this podcast, and I'm so glad you're here to join me along the way. Today we'll hear from another guest telling their tales of their amazing pets from yesterday and today. We'll be able to talk about rescue and adoption and so much more about our amazing animal friends. Don't forget to stick around at the end to hear about the organization we're highlighting in today's episode. Hello, 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 my friends and fellow animal lovers. Welcome to a new episode of the Story of My Pet podcast. As always, I'm your host, Julie Marty Pearson. I can't wait to get into our conversation today. But first, let's talk a little bit about our guest. I want to welcome Susanna. Hello, Susanna. How are you doing today?
Hello, Julie. I'm very good. I'm very happy to be with you this evening for me and this morning for you, probably.
Yes. Yeah, afternoon, it's actually noon. So, you know, a little closer, but I'm so glad you're here. I've already got a sneak peek of her precious dog, Jewel. I can't wait to hear more stories. Before we get started, I'm going to tell our listeners a little bit about you. So Susanna, originally from Romania, now living in Ireland. She's a civil engineer and a life coach. And she just was so excited to be on the podcast to talk to about her little bear Jewel, as she said, who's been a fundamental role in her life in the last 9 years. So again, welcome, Susanna. I can't wait to hear all about Jewel.
Thank you so much, Julie. It's such a great opportunity for me to have some time to remember my story with Jewel, even though when I was sending you the photos for this podcast, I was remembering all the stages since I've met Jewel, and it's always a pleasure and a way to recharge myself.
Yes, yes, that's how I feel about talking about our pets and animal friends. So let's start at the beginning. How did you come to have Jewel as your dog?
So yeah, before having Jewel, we had another silver poodle. Jewel is a silver poodle, a small silver poodle. So we had another silver poodle that we lost him, unfortunately, at the age of 10. Oh. And he was living with my grandparents. So it was not my dog. You know, the dog has only one owner. And right. Silver was very attached to my grandmother. And unfortunately, we lost him. And my grandmother was extremely sad. We said we don't want any other dogs ever in our lives. You know how it is when you're suffering, when you're losing a pet. Yes. But when we went traveling in the States to visit my aunt, we've seen a little white puppy cuddling and crawling. So I said to my mom, I think it's time to find another dog in our life.
Yes.
I wanted a poodle. I love poodles extremely. And we look for another color of poodle because we thought that a silver poodle would remind us too much of our silver. Mm. But looking for a poodle, we found his breeder, which was around 600 kilometers away from where we were living in Romania. Okay. And we saw the photos and he was looking like a little monkey, extremely small and with a cute little face. And the moment I saw him, I said, Mom, we really need to have him, please. And she called the breeder and we checked for the price. It was extremely expensive for us at that time. We were not very in a good financial position. And we asked the lady to please allow us to pay for him in several batches over time. Yeah. So this is why we took Jewel from there at only 6 months. But I'm extremely grateful that we did that financial effort to take him. And I think it was a great moment for us when we met. So just to come back to to the story.
Yeah.
We talked with the lady to allow us to pay him, and the day has come for me to go there to travel. Mm-hmm. I've traveled for 600 kilometers with the train because at that time I couldn't afford to fly, and I took the cheapest train ticket. It was in the universe, and I left with a small cage prepared for a crazy dog, because we all know that poodles are super crazy and super barking and extremely agitated. So I said, I need to be prepared. I need to have toys. I need to have little food and everything. So I left with all this baggage with me. I traveled alone with a lot of guys that were truck drivers and were traveling somewhere near to go to their trucks. So they were starting to leave Romania with luggages. It was a bit creepy,
right?
Because the guy in front of me was reading something called 666, which was like very spooky in that
yes.
night. But anyway, everything went fine and everything was well. And I arrived in Timișoara, from where is Jewel, and the moment I arrived to the breeder's place, she brought him, and we looked in each other's eyes and we just fell in love. And how I know that he fell in love with me is that I took him in my arms and he was shaking, and then he just looked at me and he did like a... something like that. And from that moment, like he just said, I'm yours.
Yes. It's almost like he imprinted on you and was like, that's it. We're our soulmates. That's amazing.
Exactly. And I cried a lot because he was living there with his parents. So it was a bit sad for me to take him from that place. But also there were a lot of poodles, so he would eventually benefit from being the only child in the house, which was not right. So bad in the end.
Yes.
He also had a great relationship with the lady's daughter. So Jewel is crazy about kids, because the girl that was living with him when I took him was loving him enormously, and mm-hmm. they were kissing each other.
Oh,
they were
sweet.
Absolutely in love. So it was extremely heartbreaking for me to take him, but after I cried a little bit in the train, I calmed down and I said, look, it is what it is.
Right.
Eventually he would have been gone to another family. So
right.
I really wanted him. I promised myself that I'm going to take care of him, and I neglected Silver, the other dog that we had. And when he died, I regretted a lot that when I moved to college, he kind of left with my grandparents. We didn't give him so much attention. He stayed with them. He was very happy.
Right.
But I felt extremely guilty. And I said, with Jewel, it's not going to be the same. He's going to have all my attention, all my love, and everything. And I think until today, when we are speaking, he had everything.
Yeah,
every piece of me.
It sounds like it. It
yeah.
sounds like you've made an amazing life for him and really just dedicated your life to him being your, you know, faithful companion. And that's just amazing. And like you said, there were so many other dogs there, and you know, who knew where they were all gonna end up, but it was meant to be for you to find him. And that's just amazing.
Yeah, and when I took him, actually, one of the conditions was that he needs to participate in one show, because his parents were show dogs. I didn't know anything about shows and anything. I just knew that I need to comb his hair. So we had to return to Timișoara for his first show, where he had his best baby in show. But then I said, I give up.
That's it.
That's not for my Jewel.
Well, and from what I know, I actually follow a few people who have poodles or sheepadoodles, the different variations of poodles there are. And I've seen that, yeah, grooming them is a very important thing, especially if you leave their hair long, like the ones that are in dog shows. So I'm sure that takes a lot of time to give him that, to make sure his coat is taken care of.
Yeah, and for me, it was extremely painful because I needed to take him to groomer a lot, and it was the combing, and the summers in Romania are extremely hot. And after I kept him around 1 year trying to fit the criteria that I was requested, right, I said, no, this dog is going to be a pet because this is the life I want from him. I don't want him to be... He's super handsome as he is. Like, I don't need anybody to come to give me a certificate to say, oh, your dog is the best. For me, it's the best anyway, so...
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's so much work to maintain them at that level that, and you know, some people, that's what they dedicate to, but like you said, he's your pet, you want him to have a fun and happy life. And yeah, you know, when it gets hot, gotta help the dogs out.
Yeah. Exactly, I
sometimes I wish I could have my cats you know, have their hair cut shorter. Because one of mine has really thick hair, and man, she gets so hot in the summer, she always has to lay on her back with her belly up, so she gets aired out.
But actually, one of my best friends, she has two cats, and she's taking them to the vet, and she's cutting their hair, so...
Some people do groom their cats, especially if they have long hair. Neither of my cats did I do that early on, so they would not be okay with someone coming at them with a...
Yes.
So we help them. I try to brush them as much as I can. But yeah, you know, you want to do what's best for them and make sure they're as comfortable as possible.
Exactly. And you noted here a very good point, like everything from cutting the hair and the nails. It's very important to be done in an early stage, for example, with Jewel, because the breeder taught him to stay, to sit on the table. Now he's the best when he's going to the groomer here.
Right.
Everybody's like, oh my God, this dog, it's an angel. Like, he's just sitting there and it's a habit for him. While with the other dogs that we had, for example, Silver had many issues because we didn't know at that time, and it was a lot of ignorance. And I think we are to blame for that. Probably the internet was not so active as it is now.
That also, too.
Exactly. But for example, the vet was making him anesthesia every time he was cutting their hair. So of course that, because he was very aggressive, apparently. But of course, now I know much more than then, and I wouldn't do that because there are many other options. But that, I'm pretty sure, contributed to his kidney failure. So as a result, Jewel had two anesthesias in all his life. One was for the tartar, which unfortunately for poodle is extremely hard to keep. But I managed for 5 years to give him dental sticks and brush his teeth and keep it under control. And then at 5 years old, before moving, we did the tartar. And because we couldn't find any daycare here, to move in Ireland, everybody was asking for neutering. I had to take the decision to neuter him. He was 5 years old. However, the veterinarian recommended me that also. She said it's a good idea, because otherwise I wouldn't have done it. So I think it's important to teach them and to teach ourselves which is the best thing to do for our pets. And anesthesia definitely is not a way to groom your pet. And whoever does that, don't take it there.
Yes, it's so true. But I think what you said is also so true. You know, even 10 years ago or 15 years ago, we didn't have the access to information about these things like we did. And we did what our vet said. And even our vets maybe didn't, you know as much then too. And, you know, we thought we were taking care of them, but now we know so much more. It's like there's so many other options we could do. And of course, training them early and getting them used to it and being consistent also helps them, because then they know what to expect and how to react and all of that. But yeah, I think we all learn our lessons with our first few pets. You know, my first cat I got when he was a kitten 20 years ago. I know much more about cats and kittens and how to raise them now than I did then. So it makes total sense. And what's great is Jewel's getting the benefit of that with you, all the things you've learned.
Yeah, it's very true. And I learned to educate myself in every decision that I'm taking regarding him, because I've learned a lot from mistakes with my previous dog. But it's also much easier to search nowadays and to find information. However, right. It's a lot of information and you need to be able to make a decision. And right. In terms of food, everything is like extremely difficult to take a decision. So sometimes we really need to rely on our veterinarian vets. However, we need to find the best vets.
Exactly. That's so true. And, you know, honestly, it's one of the reasons I started this podcast is not just, I mean, of course, we all want to talk about our amazing pets, but also to be able to share information, you know, to have people come on who run animal organizations, who are groomers, who train service dogs, whatever it may be, so that we can pass on the information and people, you know what to do or have the best options at least and know, you know, what to do from there. So it sounds like that's exactly what you're doing for Jewel.
So, yes, indeed.
I know you were telling me earlier before we started recording that when you moved to Ireland, you were able to bring Jewel with you, and you said that was one of the reasons you would only go if he could go with you.
Yes, indeed. So, first of all, I always wanted, or for many years, I was dreaming to live this expat dream life. But when I took Jewel, I kind of, oh my God, how is this going to happen? How I'm going to be able to have a life and move with Jewel? So I kind of give up. Somehow, Jewel brought in my life one of my best friends, who in the end became who was a HR manager, and she had hunted me also.
Oh, okay.
She has a Basset Hound, which became Jewel's best friend. Aww. And she had the position in Ireland where she proposed me to go for an interview. They offered me the job in the end, and I told them even from the interview, I think they thought I'm crazy. I said, look, I need to search a bit if I can fly with my dog, because, you know, I have a dog and I also need to see what options I have in terms of where do I leave the dog while I'm working in the site. And they were like, oh, you have a dog? I don't think you can move with a dog. And I said, believe me, I am. I am moving with my dog. Or I didn't say, or I don't. Exactly.
Yes. And I'm sure, you know, I know here in the United States, there are rules for some states, mostly, I mean, the biggest one is Hawaii, because you have to fly there and they have certain rules about putting animals in quarantine for so long before they're allowed to come and things like that. But we don't have to worry about that much because we can travel so easily between states that, you know, I haven't even thought about that in Europe. That must be much more difficult to be able to travel or to move to a new location, because each country has their own rules about that.
Actually, I was very fortunate because Ireland is in European Union and so is Romania. And this allowed us to come without quarantine. Quarantine was not an option for Jewel either. He absolutely dislikes to be in a cage. He doesn't like, and he was probably very little in his life. Now, at the groomer, I don't really have an option.
Right.
I book him the last, but he stays in a cage for a few minutes, but not much. But I know he dislikes that, so I'm trying to avoid as much as possible. But if it was, for example, in United Kingdom, the rules are totally different in there in terms of quarantine. You need to quarantine a lot. So also, one important thing to note is traveling in Europe with a dog in the airplane is not so easy as in the States, because the requirements are quite quite specific. Like, for example, for Jewel, with the air company that we came, we were supposed to have 6 kilos together with the bag that was transporting for him. So each company has its rules. However, there are many companies that don't get any dogs, not in the plane, but not underneath. So I looked on the internet and everybody was saying they are bringing dogs to Ireland. However, when I arrived here and I started calling them, nobody was bringing dogs into Ireland except one company where we were almost 1 kilo over. So I had to talk with Jules vet from Bucharest, and she helped me get she helped me with advice, and she said, don't put Joel underneath, you either take the car, you either bring him in the plane. And we found a lot of understanding from the company, because at the end it was only 800 grams extra, so they allowed Joel in the plane. So we were very lucky with that, and I'm very grateful to the company that they were so kind. And
yes, that's amazing. That's so nice.
It was very at the limit, but it was over. They could have said, no, he's not getting into the plane. So yeah, everything was fine. However, it was quite stressful for Jewel to move. I think it's not easy to move abroad. I came initially myself. I moved in February, so Jewel joined me only in May.
Okay.
He stayed at home in Romania. He had a nanny that he loved him very much, and she still loves him very much. Like, absolutely, he was kind of part of the family, a home from home.
Right.
And he was between my mom and the nanny, Mrs. Olga, and my grandfather. So he's very loved. Everybody loves Jewel. He was staying in his environment. I also decided not to rent my apartment so he could stay in his home.
Oh yeah, that's nice.
Until he moves. And it was quite tough for him. I think it was difficult, but I think it was quite tough when he got in Ireland, because it was only the two of us. So from getting attention and love from so many people,
right,
he had only myself. So I was extremely lucky, because my best friend was able to bring him over with a plane.
Mm-hmm.
And when she arrived, she stayed around for days. The first option of daycare that I found for Jewel was awful. I was not very happy with it. I didn't really have any other option, because I was waking up at 5:30, leaving around 7, and I was coming back quite late. And it was that type of daycare where everything is like an open space. It's like a sports field where all the dogs are staying together, and they are running and playing. But Jewel is not used with something like that. So again, we're talking about what the dog gets used with.
Exactly.
So he was suffering. Like, he was coming home and he was crying in his sleep. He was extremely tired. I don't think he was resting at all. And after 3 days, I was so desperate, and I asked my housemate, I said, do you know somebody? I need to do something, because my dog is not well. I'm going to take off from work.
Right.
And he told me, look, I know about a lady. And I called that lady, and the next day I said, I really need to meet you. I went to her. She was having a super big home. All the dogs were sitting on the couch.
Oh.
It was a different atmosphere, amazing lady. And her name is Del, and I said, I don't care, from tomorrow my dog is coming here. So I called the daycare and I said, look lads, can you reimburse me the rest of the money for the month? Plus Jewel got a scratch on his nose, and I'm like, they didn't even tell me, which was very disturbing. And they also lied to me, or I'm assuming, I don't want to blame, but I'm assuming that, because they told me he got a scratch going after a treat, and I saw the type of treats that they were serving there, and I know my dog, he's not
aggressive.
He's very specific in what he's eating. So if the treat is not extremely super treat and super good, he wouldn't eat.
Right.
So yeah, I need to make this change, and I need to do it urgently, because he was not well. But I think all the stress and everything was a big factor, because in a few months he got kind of a pancreatitis crisis.
Oh, okay.
Which was not great at the moment, because we didn't know what to do, what's going to happen, what that mean, and everything. So now if anybody has dogs with pancreatitis issues, please feel free to reach out, because It's something that the dog can live absolutely fine as long as he's under strict diet. Jewel, now he doesn't get any type of treats. However, we prepare for him turkey and a low-fat food. So we just need to be very, very careful with not getting him in the kitchen. So right. We have now a baby gate at the entrance in the kitchen. Since we bought the baby gate, thankfully 1 year ago, Joel didn't get sick again.
Oh, so great.
Something was happening during the night in that kitchen.
That's so funny. Yeah, it sounds like he was waiting till he had his time to go check out anything that had been left behind. But you know, I have friends, and I've heard so many people when they go to a more natural, you know, food diet, that helps dogs so much. And it sounds like, you know, Jewel went through a lot with you being gone and then traveling to a new place and a new environment, but it sounds like you've done everything you possibly could for him. And that, does he's still at the same lady's house now for daycare?
Oh no, because in the meantime, so when we arrived in Ireland, apparently I'm moving a lot, and Joel the same. So Joel, it's a dog that traveled a lot, and he's traveling a lot in Ireland now with us. But even when we were in Romania, I was taking him almost everywhere. So he's been to the mountain, to the sea, in Romania, now in Ireland, everywhere.
He's an adventure dog.
Exactly. And he's actually enjoying his life. Like, he's actually enjoying everything and every second, and he teaches us a lot to be grateful and to enjoy little things.
Yes.
So after I moved here, and after Joel moved also, in July 2018 I met my boyfriend, and I've been alone for 10 years. I've been single for 10 years. When I took Joel, I said, look, this is another filter for when I'm going to find the person, my better half. So if the man in my life doesn't love dogs or doesn't treat Joel as it should, it's definitely not for me. And right. I feel like Joel, since he grew a little bit, or maybe I'm a bit... crazy, but it felt to me that he was needing the masculine energy, which he didn't have at all. So for example, his sitter in Romania had a husband. He was very attached of the husband. He was very attached of my grandfather. He was very attached of my brother. I kind of felt in him that he needed the masculine energy. And when I met my boyfriend, and I introduced them, they got along very well, extremely well, and they have a wonderful relationship. Sometimes I'm extremely jealous because I feel that my dog now loves him more.
Like, more than you.
Exactly. It's like, oh, is Joel now coming too much with you, or is why is it with you in the room and not with me, or why is it following you and not following me? So they have a wonderful relationship. But I met my boyfriend and he was in Dublin. So I was in a project that was in another city, was in Cork, in Ireland. Okay. And after that project ended, I was transferred to Dublin. So Joel was transferred also to Dublin. So it was another move for him. But fortunately here we have two ladies that we work with, and there's so many animal lovers, because when I was looking on the internet and researching from the internet, especially on the expats research, you would say Ireland is not a pet friendly place, because renting is an issue and renting with a dog seems an issue. But I was honest every time I went into renting, and I said I have a dog. Even when I came to Dublin, we had Joel, so we came with him to see the apartment,
and
we said this dog is very good. Like, he's, of course, he's barking like every dog every now and then, but he's extremely good. And we didn't have an issue. Like, we found people accepted us with him, and I think if you look, eventually you will find. But you need to be honest about how are you, how is your dog, and things will come together.
I think that's such an important thing, because for two reasons. I hear all the time of dogs and cats being taken to shelters because they have to move and they can't take them with them. I cannot imagine ever doing that. I would say, well, sorry, I can't move. I guess it's not going to work out. And the other thing is also true, that people think, well, if I just don't tell them and I do it anyway, well, then they're going to get in trouble. And then they're in this spot where they've signed a lease and they find out they have a dog and they have to give them up, you know. So I do agree with you. Honesty is the best policy. And like you said, when you're honest and open about it, you're going to find the right people. You're going to find the right place. And it sounds like that's exactly what happened for you.
Yeah. And for example, in the first place where we lived, it wasn't easy. Like I've gone in several stuff, but at the end of the day, I put in my letter and I said, look, this is me. I know how it is renting because I'm renting my place right now. So I know what you would expect from me. I can give you references from my dog, from different people, sitters that know him, from the breeder, from people that interacted with him. Like he's a good dog.
A
destroyer, like, right. And I think, again, because you were saying earlier, I think it's extremely important to say here that when you have a well-behaved dog and you take care of its kind of education, you will be a happy owner and you will be able to take your dog everywhere. Because if you want to spoil the dog and the dog is doing only whatever he or she wants, it's just going to be a nightmare for you and for everybody.
And that's so important. And I think part of that is it takes the time and the effort. And sometimes people take on a responsibility of a pet, but they don't have they don't realize how much time it is and they don't give it the time. And then that's when they have behavior issues or whatever it may be. And it's not the animal's fault. You know, like you said, they have to be trained. They have to be shown. They have to be given that love, that time, that attention. And I think that's just so, it's such an important thing. I always say to people, if you're thinking about adopting, realize you're making a commitment for that animal's entire life. It's not just it's cute for now and I'll, you know, give it back later on when I don't want to do it anymore. So yeah, I think that's so important, but it sounds like that's what you've done. You've done exactly what you needed to do and be upfront. And I have to say, I think it's hilarious that your dog has references.
Yes, he has. He even has from my last landlord. I just took just in case. I said, you don't, never know when you need it. You need to have that. And I said, why? I don't know where I read. I'm very good at doing research and stuff. And while I was searching, how should I put in my letter for the landlord and how should I approach the situation when everything was seeming desperately that nobody will receive me, I said, okay. People can reference my dog. They can talk about him. Like, they can guarantee, like, I give you phone number, whatever you want, just receive me.
If you have any questions, you can see Jules' references. They're all very good.
Jules' CV.
Yes. Would you want to see his resume? That's so sweet. So how long have you been where you are now?
So in Dublin, we are living... I think 2 years.
Oh, okay.
Two years. Sorry.
Like, what? I know. What day is it?
Yeah, no. 2 years. 2 years. Only two years. Yeah. 2 years in June. We moved 2 years ago here. And I think he's adapted. And I think Jewel really enjoys Ireland because it's not so warm in the summer. Always green grass. He can go everywhere in the parks. You're allowed until 11 legally to keep your dog outside the leash, which is very good. They are quite friendly. They are friendly. Like, there are restaurants where you can take your dog.
That's great.
There are hotels where you can take your dog. But again, it's a matter of research. Find those blogs that are talking about it. And there are very good sitters around Dublin and in Dublin, like people that you can rely. There's also an app where you can book people and come at your place if you go out. Like, for example, if we go out for a drink or for dinner, we would book somebody to come. We never leave Jewel alone. And
that
came from an obsession of mine on top of his anxiety. I was reading at the beginning that people would steal, like there are burglars that are stealing your dog, and this is my biggest nightmare.
Oh my gosh,
I don't want anybody to steal
my dog. You're like, no, he needs security now and a nanny. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah, it sounds like it's very dog friendly. And I have to say, it sounds amazing. Green grass and not warm. Where I am in California, it gets really hot here in the summer. So, and we don't have much greenery because of that. So it sounds like an amazing place for you guys, and especially for Jewel. He must really love it.
Yes, he actually enjoys it very much. And I can see now that he's settled. He was quite easily settled, like except the episodes with pancreatitis, which first one is very funny, and I'm going to be very briefly. I saw that he was not feeling extremely well. He had some tummy issues. And I was living in Portugal for a short weekend to meet my friend for her birthday. And I say, look, here is Jewel. He's not feeling well with the tummy. Keep him under control. Let me know how it is. I put myself in the plane. I land in Albufeira or whatever. I don't remember the name anywhere. Somewhere nice and sunny and wonderful. The moment I land, the nanny was calling me. Jewel is extremely sick. He's on perfusions. He has parvovirosis. I said, that's impossible because Jewel has all his vaccines. But
right.
I talked with the vet in Romania, said, how can my dog has this disease? Anyway, you know, there are those tests that are like kind of pregnancy tests, but for parvo, okay. They've done one, and for whatever reason that was positive. And I said, no, no, please do the blood one. And then I said, okay, I'm going to book the next flight home. The next flight home was in the morning. So I came back in Ireland, and another important advice for whoever is moving in a place where there are insurances for pets, the moment you land in that place, don't be cheap, do insurance. Because in Romania, we don't have this insurance system for dogs.
Okay.
And I didn't even had a clue that there's an option for that. So because he had the episode for pancreatitis, now Jewel is not insured for anything, so everything that is happening at the vet is cash.
Right.
So my advice would be for everybody who lives in a country or who moves in a country where you have pet insurance, it's not a big value when you mm-hmm. when you can pay for things that could be extremely expensive at the end of the day, because right. we all know that vets are not extremely cheap.
Right. Well, especially if it's an ongoing, you know, those costs rack up really quickly. One of my cats is diabetic, and it's expensive to get his insulin. So, but like you said, once they're diagnosed, just like with people, you can't go get the insurance for it. So that is a really great advice, especially if you're moving. Whether you've had insurance or not, you definitely want to look into that, because I've heard, especially with dogs, because they seem to have more expensive types of treatments, that it's really worth it if you can get that pet insurance, especially starting when they're young.
Yeah, because Joel was like, he was 5 when we moved here, so he was very eligible for any type of insurance, and he didn't have absolutely no issues. Like, he was having like stomach issues, like every dog has every now and then, but right. the pancreatitis episode was like, what? So yeah, it's very important to look for insurances if the place offers is going to be definitely much cheaper than a surprise something that needs treatment, and nobody wants to see their dog in pain. Like, I would definitely sell all my clothes and everything that I own to be a bit right. like, if needed, of course. in case, because at the end of the day, they are members of our family, and you don't want to see their suffering. You want them well.
Yes, absolutely. But yeah, it's so important. If you can prepare ahead of time, it makes it a lot easier. But we still do whatever we got to do to make sure they get the treatment that they need. So I'm so glad that it sounds like he seems to be doing better with the change in food. So that I'm sure is a big weight lifted for you of worry over that.
And I think also COVID contributed a lot, because my boyfriend started working from home. I work from home a little bit more. And for Joel, that was the best time of his life. I know many people had struggled, but my dog was extremely happy in that period, because we were home, no holidays, no visiting our parents, no nanny.
Right.
So for him was like, I just like whatever happens right now.
Yeah, he had you both all to himself, and he loved it. And it is so true. A lot of animals have had issues. I mean, we as people have issues going back to work, but then the animals do too. And that's why for me as a pet sitter, usually when I'm sitting with them, I actually stay in the house with them and, you know, give them all of my attention, because if that's, you know, what they've been used to, because, you know, that's what they need. So I think that's really important.
Yeah, they need a lot of attention. They just don't need a moving body in the house or a body that works on in front of the laptop. They need somebody to cuddle and to feel that energy. Even then, you can do it for 24 hours, but for some hours.
Right. Yes. You know, playing and, you know, giving them. And also what I found, especially with dogs I take care of, is keeping them on their schedule. You know, they like a schedule. They know when they should be eating and when they should be doing, you know, going for their walk. And you know, they're much less anxious and upset even if their people are gone, that they're keeping, you know, their environment the same and their schedule the same.
Yes, you're saying a very, very interesting thing about the schedule. I think it's extremely important. Like, a balanced dog has a schedule. We feed him in the morning. Our dog eats 3 times a day. That's how he's used now, and this is how we are continuing. He has 3 walks per day in general, but minimum. I have this thing in my mind that walking a dog is very good for their mental. It allows them to relax and to sleep, and it's also good for me because I'm doing a lot of exercise with these walks. So I'm walking around 1.5 hours at a minimum per day, which is not so bad after sitting at the desk and so on. So for me, waking up in the morning is a unconditional thing. No matter what time do I need to go to work, there needs to be at least a 30-minute walk with Jewel, which is very good for my mental health also.
Yes. Well, you know, and I think especially dogs are so much like us. They need that break. They need the fresh air. They want that interaction, and it activates all their senses, and they're seeing things and sniffing things. And that, you know, research has shown that all of that kind of activity is so important for them, and it benefits us because we need to move around more than we do, especially for sitting at a desk all day. I notice how much better I feel when I'm taking care of one of my dog clients, because I am more active than when I'm home with my cats, because, you know, they don't care, they sleep most of the day. So before we finish up our talk, I wanted to make sure that I mentioned the organization you told me about. And I'm going to let you pronounce it.
Okay, so it's called Cola Cariola. I know that I'm living in Ireland.
Okay.
But this organization that I chose is from Romania. Because living in Ireland, I don't see stray dogs on the street. While in Romania, I still see it. And I'm following these people for a long time. And they are doing an absolutely great work in terms of saving dogs from death, from abuse. They are extremely involved, and they have, of course, limited resources.
Right.
But I don't know. I think very rarely I've seen in an organization in Romania, I'm referring, such passion, like moving short videos on Facebook, like even in the middle of the night, rescuing the dogs from different situations. And unfortunately, in Romania right now, there are still, especially in the countryside, less in the cities, there are still a lot of dogs and animals in general that are abused, or they don't have an owner. They are just on the streets. They have a very harsh life. They kill each other. Like, it's extremely sad. I choose sometimes just not to think, because it's too much pain to look at. But I think what these guys are doing is that they find some dogs in their limited availability, and they try to place them into new homes. Some of them are staying with them forever because they are older dogs, they are blind dogs, and nobody is taking them. But there are somewhere, and they are loved, and they get a life.
Right.
And I think that's one of the reasons I chose them, because I'm following them for a long time, and I think they need more help than others that I know.
Right.
And they also deserve, in my opinion, to be mentioned. And I've seen also something very important. They are not only taking care of dogs right now, they are also taking care of horses, sheep. They make kind of a sanctuary, which is a very, very good initiative, because unfortunately back in Romania many people are like, even about Jewel, they were saying, oh, he's looking like a sheep. They have still that old mentality that dogs need to live in the garden, or you would still see in the countryside dogs that are sitting in with a collar all day, a chain, which is horrible. And
yes, awful.
I'm hoping that in years this education of we need to respect the animals,
right,
it's going to get in there. But knowing the situation, I want to mention and to bring into people's awareness that unfortunately not everywhere it's very well managed, the
right.
dog, the stray dog situation and the animal situation. So
they are doing a good job. Yeah, it sounds like an amazing organization, and they're really doing work that needs to be done. And when this episode comes out, I'll make sure to put information about the organization in the description, and I have their Facebook page, so listeners listening to this episode can follow them and start supporting them.
Thank you very much. I think that's great.
I think, you know, here in the U.S. we have a lot of stray problem. We have a ton of shelters, and like every city, every state, there's all these organizations, but we have a lot of organizations and people are pretty aware of it. But it sounds like in Romania there isn't a lot of support for that, and it sounds like this organization is really doing amazing work. So I'm so glad that you brought it to my attention, so we can tell the listeners about them and they can hopefully get some support out of it.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I think there are organizations, but they are not enough, you know.
Right.
The places are too limited for the number of occurrences still happening.
Right. Yeah, I think that, I mean, the problem is there's always more animals being born and we always need more. So we got to do whatever we can to support them. So again, another reason I started this podcast. So I'm so happy to have you and happy to be able to share, you know, something about a country different than where I'm from that I know information about. And that really helps spread the word.
Thank you so much. And I really want to congratulate you, because I think it's a brilliant idea. I love it. And I'm definitely going to continue being your listener.
Great. I love it. So everybody listening, when this comes out, we'll make sure that you get all the information about Susanna and Jewel. You'll get to see some amazingly cute, adorable pictures of Jewel. And I will tag you, Susanna, so they can follow you, as well as the organization you mentioned in Romania. And we'll be able, hopefully, to get them some additional support. So I just want to thank you so much for being here with me today. I appreciate it. Loved hearing your story. I loved getting a little glimpse of Jewel in your lap earlier. And I just want to thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for the invitation. I really feel honored, and I'm really grateful for your invitation today.
Great. Thank you.
See you.
Thank you so much for listening to episode 3 of the Story of My Pet podcast. Special thanks to my guest, Susanna, for sharing her stories about her bond with Jewel. Hearing her discuss the importance of making Jewel a priority as she moved from Romania to Ireland was so inspiring. I think it's such an important topic. Our fur family members are just as important as all of our family members, and we must consider them when we're making big life changes. Susanna also brought to her attention an important animal rescue organization in Romania. Cola Cariola is one of the few animal rescue organizations in their area, They rescue dogs and cats that are abandoned on the streets. They support them and try to find them homes. They also have a sanctuary now where they can rescue horses, pigs, sheep, and other farm animals. Check them out on Facebook or via their website. As always, go follow us on Instagram at The Story of My Pet Podcast, where you can hear about upcoming episodes, join our email list, and even find out about being a guest on an episode just like this. Thanks!